for tape, CDs, DVDs to our publication Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Write P.O. Box 21516, Hot Springs, Arkansas, zip 71903. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Tuesday morning, December 27th, 1983. Midwinter camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campground, Hot Springs, Arkansas. Bob Mixon is the teacher of the morning.
Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know, I did a study of every Hebrew word in the Bible one time for praise. And guess what wasn't any of them? Sitting. Standing was all right, laying prostrate in the floor, jumping, shouting, spinning wildly. I even found rolling one time, but I never found sitting. Lord, we bless your name today. Father, we thank you that you're exalted, that you're the mighty King, the Lord of lords, the King of all glory. You're the master, the creator, the one who rules and reigns in the affairs of men, the one who created all things by the word of your power, and you hold all things together by the word of your power. Lord, it's in you and in your word that we live and we move and have our being. And Father, we confess plainly today that we depend upon you. We thrust our entire personality upon you this morning, Lord, our entire being upon you. And we ask by the anointing of your Spirit, Lord, that you break the shackles and you break the yokes and you bring forth within us and upon us, Lord, a fresh release of the moving of the Holy Ghost of God. Father, we ask this morning that there be a visitation by the presence of God, that there be a visitation of the Spirit of God, that there be a release in our life of in an outpouring of the Holy Ghost of God. Almighty Spirit of God, we invite your presence. We invite your manifestation. We invite your glory. We invite your presence. We invite your power, and we yield to you. We give you this service, and we give you this day. Father, for those this morning that have not tasted of the fullness of the Spirit, Father, let this be the day. Let this be the day. Let this be the day that their heart rises up, that their faith reaches out and lays hold of, Lord, what you've laid hold of them for. Father, we give you this time. And Lord, I pray that even in the Word, that you would build faith and you would strengthen the hearts and you would cause your people to reach out, Lord, that as this service goes on, Father, that we would receive a visitation and a moving of your Spirit, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Glory to God. Glory to God. Amen. 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 You can be seated if you want to, or you can stand up if you want to. Amen. Amen. I'm going to stand up. People ask me why I walk all the time. It's because I can't stand still. Amen. I'm sorry, but this earthly tabernacle gets excited when it gets filled with the heavenly glory. Amen. I tell you this morning, I don't know what to do with the Lord. I've started two series so far, and I never have gotten to page two on them. Amen. And instead of working on either one of them, the Lord led me a whole different direction this morning. I appreciate our brother over here. I was back there really kind of wrestling with the Lord. And I didn't really feel a peace about what I'd felt like we were going to teach on. And I was kind of searching the scripture and not knowing what to do. And I was standing over there by the door, and our brother came up with another brother. And they said, "Brother, would you receive it if we prayed for you? We just feel like the Lord wants us to." And they laid hands on me and prayed for me. And the Lord began to confirm to my heart. And he led me to a scripture I know I hadn't ministered out of in several years. But I feel this morning like the Lord wants to do some things in the moving of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And if there's any of y'all hadn't received, this is your day. Hello, I said this is your day. Amen. If you hadn't been released in what you have received, this is your day too. But we're going to lay a little foundation and minister a little bit on building the temple. We're going to begin in Matthew 26. I guess begin with verse 57. We just want to lay a little bit of a foundation here. Matthew 26, verse 57. "And they that had laid hold on Jesus led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. But Peter followed afar off in the high priest's palace and went in and sat with the servants to see the end. Now the chief priest and the elders and all the council sought false witness against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. Yea, though many false witnesses came, yet found they none. And at last came two false witnesses." Listen to their report. "And they said, 'This fellow said, I'm able to destroy the temple of God and to build it again 3 days.' Now in John chapter 2 and verse 10, Jesus went into the temple on his first trip to Jerusalem. And they were selling doves and oxen and sheep and rams in the tabernacle, in the temple. And they were exchanging money. It was a real con racket that they had going. It's a lot more than it looks like. It wasn't just the fact that they were selling things in the temple. It was what they were doing. The priest had it set up that they had to approve all sacrifice. And if you wanted to sacrifice a dove or a lamb or a ram or whatever, it had to be approved by the priest, and they never would approve what you had. But right over here at table B, we just happened to have some on sale this week. And they sold the maimed and the one-eyed animals, and they sold the worst, and they sacrificed the worst to God. And they robbed God's people and made merchandise of them and offered God the least. And you could only use temple money. How's that for a scam? You couldn't use worldly money. It was idolatry. You had to use temple money. But over here, we'll give you a good rate of exchange on our temple money for your idol money. And the Lord Jesus walked in and he saw his church being robbed and financially raped. And he saw what was intended to be a house of worship and a house of praise being turned into a den of thieves. And he got mad. He began to turn the... I love it. I love it when Jesus gets mad. I used to love it more. You remember when you first got saved and you'd read Jesus climbing them scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites, generation of snakes. And boy, I'd read that and I'd go, get them, Lord, get them. You know, and now the older I get, I'll read the same passage and say, have mercy, Lord. Have. You hear what I'm saying, don't you? Amen. It's hard to fight off that religion sometimes, but Jesus walked in and he saw that happening in his temple and he was furious and he threw them out and they looked at him and they said, what sign do you show us that makes us think you have authority to do what you're doing in this temple? Now what they accused him of here in the Greek, they said, this fellow said, I'm able to tear down the temple of God and to reconstruct it again in 3 days. But that's not what he said in John chapter 2. They said, what sign do you show to offer proof that you have authority to do these things? And he said, you dissolve this temple, and in 3 days I'll wake it up again. This spoke he of his body. Oh, glory. I'm laying a foundation for something here. I don't want to get theological, but I need to teach a little theology. I need to look a little bit at the purpose of Pentecost. And to understand that, we need to understand where our salvation came from. Jesus said, you dissolve my body, and in 3 days, I'll wake it up. When they took him, the shepherd was smitten, and the body dissolved. And they were all gone. But on the third day, when he rose from the dead, glory to God, he woke him up. Oh, I got to read that to you. It's in John chapter... amen. Now don't y'all get mad at me. I don't mean to be dogmatic about this. I just know I'm right. Hallelujah. See, they weren't... The first instance of people getting saved wasn't on the day of Pentecost. John chapter 20 and verse 19. Well, glory. I'm liable to getting all kinds. I offend everybody. You know, I try to do that. I don't want to offend just one group. I'll go on and offend everybody. And I think I'm harder on people that are like me than I am. I don't get onto the Baptist and the Methodist. I get onto the people who want to go on with God because we need it most. Amen. Amen. The same day of the week at evening, being the first day of the week when the doors were shut. I love this. Where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. I want to give you something out of that scripture right there. They had shut. They themselves had shut and barred that door. And Jesus didn't just appear in the room. He walked through the door. And I want to know that there's a revelation in that. The Word of God is more solid than any bars you can put up. Woo! Amen. They thought they were shutting everybody out. And Jesus said, this isn't anything. He walked right through. And when he had so said, he showed unto them his hands and his side. And when the disciples were glad, and then the disciples were glad when they saw the Lord. Then Jesus said unto them again, peace be unto you, as my Father has sent me, even so send I you. And when he had said this, he breathed upon them, and he said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. And I don't believe Jesus ever did anything for mere form. Jesus appeared in his resurrection body. He breathed upon them and said, "Receive ye the Holy Ghost." And I believe that they were born of the Spirit. To reinforce my belief, Thomas missed church that day. So the Lord appeared unto him again. And Thomas had said, "Unless I can feel the holes in his wrist." Glenn, you're right. The Greek word for hand is not the palm. Any idiot could see that wouldn't hold you up. It was through the main artery, the juncture of the bones there in the wrist. He said, "I'm going to have to stick my finger in that gaping hole, and I'm going to have to thrust my hand up into his side. I'm going to have to feel before I can believe." How many are glad for Thomas? Amen. He said what a lot of us have thought. And the Lord appeared unto him, and he said, "Go ahead, Thomas." And what did Thomas say?
My Lord and my God.
Now, what does Romans 10 tell us? If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be... Glory to God. They were saved that day. They were saved when he appeared. Because our salvation, listen to me, is not based upon Pentecost. It's based on the resurrection. If our salvation is based upon anything but the blood, the living blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, we've got wrong salvation. The Holy Ghost wasn't nailed to the tree. Jesus was. And I tell you why I'm so dogmatic about it. Because there's two dangerous doctrines built around the supposition that Pentecost was the first day anybody got saved. One is the fundamental approach. It says, on the day of Pentecost they got saved, therefore if you're saved, you've got Pentecost. Wrong. And then there's a worse one. It says Pentecost was the day of salvation, therefore you've got to have Pentecost to be saved. If you don't speak in tongues, you aren't born of the Spirit. That's the doctrine. Wrong. Don't want to be dogmatic, just know I'm right. But what was Pentecost? We aren't there yet. We want to look at that resurrection morning, and then we'll get to Pentecost. Glory to God. You can turn in your Bibles to, where? I'll have to look. It's Samuel Chronicles or Kings. It's somewhere back there. 1 Kings chapter 5 is where we'll start. We're going to look at the building of the temple. If you've ever studied Solomon's temple, you know you could spend months on it. And we aren't going to do that. I just want to touch on a few areas of the building of the temple and then go into what happened when the temple was dedicated, which is what we're here for. But there are three areas of the building of the temple I want us to look at this morning, which I really feel like is one of the reasons the Lord led me to this scripture. 1 Kings chapter 5, verse 17. And the king commanded, and they brought great stones, costly stones, and huge stones to lay the foundation of the house. And Solomon's builders and Hiram's builders did hew them, and the stone squarers, so that they prepared timber and stones to build the house. Chapter 6 and verse 7. And the house, when it was in building, was built of stone and was made ready before it was brought thither, so that there was neither hammer nor axe nor any tool of iron heard in the house while it was in the building. We want to look at two areas into the outer building of the temple. There were the stones and there were the boards. Now the stones were great stones hewed out of the mountain. The Lord would find a big chunk of boulder out here sticking up in that mountain, and they'd dig it out and they'd hew it and they'd square it and they'd cut it to the shape that it was supposed to be. And once they had it the shape that it was, how many know it gets painful to get chipped? Amen. How many have ever had the Lord dig out a hole in you and start chiseling away? Amen. Glory to God. And when they got it the size or the general shape that they wanted, it then came time for the beginning of the polishing. How many know how they did that? How many have been polished lately? How many enjoyed it? You know, I learned something about that. I was in West Texas several years ago, and a friend of ours is one of these guys who is, there's no telling how much money he's got invested sitting out there in his garage, but he goes and collects rocks and polishes them, cuts them in half and makes things, and that's his hobby. And he's got a machine out there that just polishes stones. And they put all those stones in there, and they rub against one another. And I've always thought stones against stones. I've always really focused on the human until I got out there and saw his stone polisher. And you know what they keep that thing full of? Oil. You want to polish the stones. You don't want to mar them. Hello, stones. The love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. Isn't it amazing how we make excuses for ourselves and knock the chip off of somebody else? Wash God, you know. We need to put a little oil in there. Amen. We need to be careful not to mar the stones. Amen. We reap what we sow. We'll find people will be more careful with us when we're more careful. Hello. The Lord has really been dealing with me strongly this year more than ever in my life that I'm to treat the body of Christ the way that I want other men to respect my wife. Are you listening? Because I don't think the Lord's too crazy about people beating up his bride. Even if it is the bride. Or the body or the spectators. But in our polishing process, let's ask the Lord for some oil. Amen. How many have got somebody that you just, no matter how hard you try, they have got the way of just bringing it out of you? We're three of us are on it. Glory, I don't believe that. I know. God's given everybody at least one. And if you don't have one, I'll pray that God give you some of mine. He's given me several. Well, I tell you, pastoring a church was fun. God gave me some of the sweetest. On the way to the pulpit, somebody would stop you and talk to you like a dog. You're ready to get up there and preach. And somebody's going to set you straight before you get there. You get up there and go, oh, my God. But you know, when somebody knocks a chip off of you, that's the time to put the oil out. It'll keep you from getting marred, too. Amen. Amen. I'm meddling again, but I'm not even half through. Because after the first polishing, it came time for the real polishing. And this is where the master builder took a handful of grit, very fine sand, and he'd get it upon the stone, and he'd rub, and he'd rub, and then he'd wash it off. And then he'd rub, and he'd rub, and he'd wash it off. And he'd rub, and he'd rub, and he'd wash it off. I believe it's the 14th chapter of Acts. Paul said, through much tribulation, we must enter the kingdom. And the word tribulation there is great pressing. Hello. God's got some sandpaper for you. But he uses water. Amen. And as soon as the grit comes off, he washes it off. And then he gets some more and he washes it off. And you know he won't quit until he can see his reflection in the stone.
Praise God.
We serve a stubborn God, y'all. Hello. He's decided that you're going to be in the image of Jesus. He has. Amen. And I said it yesterday. If he's got to drag you across every hill and through every knot hole from here to there, he's going to. I mean, you're glad for God. Amen. He loves you too much. Amen. Wouldn't it be nice if it was just easy and breezy like they told us it was going to be? No. It wouldn't. We wouldn't appreciate it. I can tell you we wouldn't. We'd apostatize. We'd, Finney taught the cycle of revival. You begin with repentance. And repentance brings a blessing. And blessing brings prosperity. And prosperity brings lukewarmness. And lukewarmness brings apostasy. And apostasy brings rebellion. And rebellion brings deadness. And deadness brings repentance, brings blessing, brings prosperity. You see what I'm saying? The good cycles weren't made to be permanent. Amen? It wasn't all made to go smooth. The intention of God is to keep rubbing and to keep smoothing and to keep polishing. And you know some of those stones, he chipped them down to size and then he kept chipping. And 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 he kept... How many ever felt like that? Well, God, you didn't put everybody else through this. How come brother so-and-so still gets to? You listening? Well, how come you hadn't called her to this life? Some of the stones weren't to make walls out of. They were his jewels. Thank you, Jesus. They were his jewels. And you know he polished them just for fun. Amen. Once they're finished and cut, you take them out and polish them just so you can look at them. Glory to God. An ensign in the crown of God. stones and the boards speak of our relationship to one another. The stones, as stone against stone, so is brother against brother. And the boards, let me give you a top view here. We're looking at the top of the boards. They were tongue and grooved. And they were taken from the valley. They were taken from the place to where the cedars grew tall. And they were cut. And they were shaped. And they were fastened. And they were tongue and grooved. We just read the scripture. Because inside the temple, the Lord says, you couldn't hear the sound of a chipping tool. And you couldn't hear the sound of a hammer. That wasn't going to be in the temple. God didn't nail it up. Hello. God didn't nail it up. Amen. One time, Kathy and I, when we lived in North Little Rock, our backyard, we grew rocks. That's common around Arkansas, amen. We lived up on a hill, and we had all these rocks in the backyard, and it was a steep hill, and there wasn't a way to pull a truck or a car back down in there, and I wanted to get those rocks out of my yard, so I got my wheelbarrow, and I got out there, and I loaded up one load of rocks, and I looked up that hill, and I looked at how far I was going to have to go, and I decided there must be a better way. So I decided I was going to build me a compost pile over in the edge of the yard, and I was going to make me a little three-walled structure out of those rocks. Thought I had me a revelation, and I was picking up rocks and setting them in there, and picking up rocks and setting them in there, and picking up rocks and setting them in there. And after about 3 hours of hard work, I got a revelation. All I was building was a pile of rocks. Because they hadn't been fashioned. Hello. We've seen a lot of that in the church, hadn't we? The first church of the rock pile. And that's been our intellect. That's been our mindset. If we just get enough rocks together. No. We need living stones. We need a church built by the hand of God. In our generation, we tried to buy the, we tried to build the super churches, didn't we? Mm-hmm. And we paid for it, didn't we? Amen. But the Lord's still got a church to build.
Yes, amen.
And in this temple, you aren't going to hear all that racket inside. Amen. Like we have. Getting them rocks inside the building, finding out. And trying to knock some edges off of them. Well, you'll go in here, brother. This is your ministry. And boards that hadn't been tongued and grooved, we've always got a hammer and nail, don't we? To set you up in here. Tongue and groove. Tongue and groove. It means that there's a part of us missing that can only be supplied by someone else. Oh, thank you. Members one of another. But you know something else tongue and groove means? It means boards are interchangeable. Oh, amen. Tongue and groove is not bondage, it's freedom. It means that the body of Christ throughout all the earth, God can take your board out of Arkansas and set you in Nigeria. And you still fit perfect. Because it's tongue and groove. It's tongue and groove. It's tongue and groove. We've had a lot of teaching on relationships, and we've tried to build ourselves around man-made, earthly covenant. Listen to me. Your priority is first to the Lord.
Amen.
Second to your family. Third to the body of Christ. And fourth to your local church. Did you hear what I said? I put the body of Christ above the local church. I said that as a pastor too, so don't get mad at me. For the local church to flow is the body of Christ. The people in the local church have to have a comprehension of the body of Christ. They have to see that the body of Christ is bigger than what can fit inside walls. When Jesus met the woman at the well, she said, "Where do you go to church?" She said, "The Jews said you're supposed to worship in this mountain. But my church believes you're from this mountain." Jesus said, "You got it wrong. Worship's not location. It's spirit." But what about local church? To be a vital part of a local church is to be tongue and grooved. Hello?
Amen.
But just understand that the local church is a portion. Amen? And camp meetings are a portion. Boy, some of our brothers in television have really been getting a bum rap by local the local church teaching. Throw them out if they don't belong to it. Don't do that. Every movement of God, every revival of God has churched itself out of existence. And I say that because I love the church. But any local church has got to have a vision of God's glory in all the earth. They've got to have a comprehension that they're a part of something. Otherwise, everything gets tunnel vision. I didn't mean to do that. That's all right. I'd gotten it to do it. The second thing we want to talk about is our relationship to the ministry. It's in chapter 7 and verse 15. For he cast two pillars of brass of 18 cubits high apiece, and a line of 12 cubits did compass either of them about. In verse 46, in the plain of Jordan, did the king cast them in the clay ground between Succoth and Zarthan. We find our relationship to the ministry represented by two brass pillars that set upon the temple. The Lord went out into the cool dirt, the ground between Succoth and Zarthan. I looked that up in Boyd's dictionary back there this morning. One means tent and the other means cooling. And that's a good picture of what that teaches us. The Lord went out into the clay ground and he dug himself the mold of what he wanted. A tabernacle for himself. And he poured in that precious hot metal. How many remember what that felt like? Amen. God scooped down in your old nasty clay and dug him out a hole and he poured in the Holy Ghost. Woo! You know, that felt good to the cold ground, didn't it? Amen. That warm, bubbly. Woo! Oh, I remember. I know we don't go by feelings, but boy, I used to love those feelings. I remember when it was awesome. Praise God. I had such an attitude. I'd been in the drug culture, and people told me when you get the Holy Ghost, you get high on Jesus. I was trying to get high on Jesus, and he wouldn't let me. Amen. But once I got over that, I began to get real sensitive to his presence when I understood it wasn't an escape. But boy, my old clay ground, it just felt so good to have it all warm, oozy. But then something began to happen. It began to cool. Remember that? God, you don't love me anymore. I just don't feel like I did. I don't even feel like I love God. I pray and it's like all heavens are brass and I just don't feel anything. They poured in the brass and it began to harden. Oh. It began to harden in the earth. The reason it began to harden was that it would take shape. Oh, God, help us to take shape. Get a little bit of backbone. Hello? There's something more important than feeling good. Amen. And standing straight. And God, give us some backbone to stand straight. Whether everybody likes it or don't like it, it doesn't make any difference. We got to mind God. Because God's pouring within. And when he got finished with the temples, oh, amen. Every preacher needs to hear this. They set it on the porch of the temple. And these two pillars set up on that porch. But they were called free pillars. What that means is they didn't quite reach the top. That's the relationship to the ministry. We're brass pillars sitting on the porch, but we ain't holding nothing up.
Amen.
Hello. We may draw attention to the temple, but you can move us out of the way and the temple will still stand.
Amen.
Yeah, but brother, what about my ministry? I pray the Lord doesn't let you have your ministry. Jonathan is getting old enough that he's real interested in driving cars. And sometimes Daddy lets him sit in his lap and even put his hands on the wheel. And Jonathan thinks he's driving, don't you? I mean, after all, he's sitting up there looking out the windshield, got his hands on the wheel. He really thinks he's driving. But Daddy knows something he doesn't know. Hello? Daddy's got his foot on the gas and can put his foot on the brake. And I got my hands on the wheel, too. Did anybody hear that? I said, sometimes we think we're driving, but we're just sitting in Daddy's lap. That's our ministry. That's our ministry. The gift will open the door. And God will mature the gift. He's the one. Amen?
Amen.
On top of that, if a brass pillar really gets the thing and it's hot, God might just move it out of the way and set another one up there.
Amen.
Well, isn't that true, brother? Amen. We aren't indispensable. He's indispensable. God is indispensable. Nobody else is going to do exactly what God's called you to do, and I don't want to take away from that. All I'm trying to say is the pressure of holding the temple together is not on your shoulders. And we need to be delivered from that kind of pressure. Well, I've heard people say that in our local church. Well, if I stop going, I just don't know what had happened to that place. Yeah. Good preaching, brother. We actually had a woman come up one time and say, "We don't think y'all are doing what's right, and we're going to withhold our tithe, but we're going to close the door." I said, "Praise God." See, I fooled her. I didn't know who gave what anyway. Didn't want to. We aren't indispensable. That's not a bad word. It's a good word. It means that the temple is the Lord's. The building is the Lord's. The ministry is the Lord's. And we can sit on the porch or we can sit on the shelf. And the work goes on. Amen? Because if any work is built so solely upon a man that it crumbles without the man, it was built wrong anyway. Chapter 6 and verse 21. A relationship to the heavenly. So Solomon overlaid the house within with pure gold, and he made a partition by the chains of gold before the oracle, and he overlaid it with gold. And the whole house he overlaid with gold, until he had finished all the house, also the whole altar that was by the oracle he overlaid with gold. Everything that he made, all of that special work of polishing on those stones he covered up. All of that special work on the boards he covered up. Because at best it was still all earthly and it had to be covered with the heavenly. Amen? That's the grace of God, y'all. Amen? We want to look at the vessel sometimes, but it's what's in it that counts. Amen. And within the oracle, within the Holy of Holies, he made two cherubims of olive tree. Literally of the wild olive tree, each 10 cubits high. I want to talk about those trees just a second. The trees that the boards were made from came from the valley, and they were tall and they were straight. But the trees that they made the cherubims that were to go in the Holy of Holies out of were the twisted and gnarled wild olive trees that grew out of the cracks in the rocks in the top of the mountains. And those things don't even look alive. They're twisted and gnarled, and their roots somehow find a place down in those rocks to hold on. And the wind whips them, and their leaves get blown off. And they can't keep any decent fruit because it's always knocked off by the storms that are around them. But something happens. The trees in the valley have a thick, thick sap. But those gnarled wild olive trees take such a beating from the wind that somehow their sap is pure olive oil.
Hallelujah.
Listen, there's a time to be tongue in groove to one another, standing tall in the valley. But there's times when God will plant you in the crack on the top of the mountain.
Amen.
And you stand firm and you hang on. And the more the wind blows and the more the tribulations come and the more it looks like everything's out to destroy you, something's happening inside of you. Where your sap used to be thick and slow, that precious oil of God begins to flow.
Amen.
And it was that wood that they used for the Holy of Holies. It was that wood to represent the heavenly. Glory, glory, glory. Hallelujah. Where am I? Amen. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Now we're ready to start. I know that this historically happened when Solomon consecrated that temple to the Lord that day. But Hebrews tells us that the earthly tabernacle and the earthly temple are just a picture of the heavenly tabernacle and the heavenly temple. And I believe the scene that took place on the earth when Solomon dedicated the temple that day is the same scene that took place in the heavenlies on the third day when Jesus rose from the dead. Y'all will see why I believe that. Chapter 5, verse 1, thus all the work that Solomon made for the house of the Lord was finished. Isn't that what he said? It's finished. And Solomon brought in all the things that David, his father, had dedicated, the silver and the gold, and among all the instruments he put among the treasures of the house of God. Then Solomon assembled the elders of Israel and all the heads of the tribes, the chief of the fathers of the children of Israel unto Jerusalem, to bring up the ark of the covenant of the Lord out of the city of David, which is Zion. Wherefore all the men of Israel assembled themselves unto the king in the feast which was in the seventh month. And all the elders of Israel came, and the Levites took up the ark. For a man to be a Levite, he had to be the firstborn. He had to be without blemish. He had to be 30 years of age to begin his ministry. And the Levites picked up the ark of God. They picked up the mercy seat of God, and they put it upon two pieces of wood and carried it on their shoulders. I believe Jesus, our Levite, who at age 30 began his ministry, at age 33 took two pieces of wood, glory to God, and upon his shoulders rested the Ark of the Covenant. Upon his shoulders rested the mercy seat of God. And they brought up the Ark and the tabernacle, all glory to God, of the congregation that were in the tabernacle. These did the priest and the Levites also bring up. This was the tabernacle that David pitched. The tabernacle that Moses pitched, the tabernacle in the wilderness, was the tabernacle that had the three courts, and it had the laver and the brazen altar and the candlestick and the table of showbread and the altar of incense. And then it had the Ark of the Covenant with the mercy. And the priest had to wait their turn, and only occasionally did anyone get to even go into the holy place. And into the holy of holies went only the high priest once a year. But David went down and he took that ark and he set it up on a hill, and he pitched a big tent with a big door. And day and night, without ceasing, men and women came into the holy presence of God and worshiped and sacrificed their praises unto God. Did you hear that? No lavers, no altars, no candlesticks, no tables, no form, no ritual. God laid it aside and said, "This is the covenant that I'll make with David's seed." And the tabernacle of David was pitched on the hill. And they came in and they sacrificed in Jesus that day when he went into the heavenly tabernacle, into the heavenly holy of holies, carried with him David's tabernacle. And he said, "This is the restoration to the Gentiles. This is the restoration to the Gentiles." That's what they said in Jerusalem when they got in a fight over Cornelius getting into the kingdom, over Cornelius getting into the covenant. The scripture they used was the restoration of the tabernacle of David. And they said, "Because the Lord's restored David's tabernacle, any man and woman and whosoever will can come in and worship and adore and stand where the high priest alone has been able to stand." Oh, glory. Glory to God. And King Solomon and all the congregation of Israel that were assembled unto him before the ark sacrificed sheep and oxen which could not be told nor numbered for the multitude. Have you ever read the building of the temple? Have you ever read what all Solomon did and all the numbers they've got? I've never seen such a book of numbers. And this day, they sacrificed so much blood in that temple that they didn't even attempt to count it. And all that all of that blood could possibly do was to roll the guilt back one more year. But one drop, one drop from that precious fountain abolished the law of sin and death forever. Glory. And that day he presented his blood before his Father. When he appeared back unto his disciples, he said, "Spirits don't have flesh and bone." He'd already offered the blood. When he appeared on that morning, Mary grabbed him. And the King James says, "Don't touch me," but I don't believe that. The Greek rendering is, "Don't clutch me. Daughter, I've not ascended to my Father yet." Jesus did nothing but lay aside everything, and all his life opened up the presence of God to believers. But now, once and forever, for all men, for anyone, for whosoever will, he said, "I've got to go and offer that blood. Don't clutch me. The work's not finished." And the priest brought in the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord into his place, to the oracle of the house, even to the most holy place, even under the wings of the cherubim. Glory to God. For the cherubim spread forth their wings over the place of the Ark, and the cherubims covered the Ark with the staves thereof. Glory. And they drew out the staves of the Ark, that the ends of the staves were seen from the Ark before the oracle. But they were not seen without, and there it is unto this day. That Ark to the was God's box. It was the box that God lived in. One time the Philistines defeated them. They said, "Well, that's no problem. We'll just go get God's box, and we'll take God's box out there. We've got God in the box, and if we take him into battle, we'll win." Oh, me. I said, "We've got God in the box." God left, and they took their empty box into battle. and he got defeated. But on that day, God retired his box, y'all.
Hallelujah.
And the handles were withdrawn, and it's still sitting there. Amen. And those cherubims are crying, "Holy, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty, who was and is to come." And there was nothing in the ark, listen to this, save the two tables which Moses put therein at Horeb when the Lord made a covenant with the children of Israel and they came out of Egypt. Hebrews 11 says that the children of Israel could not be made perfect without us. The manna was taken away because Jesus was the bread of life. Aaron's rod that budded was taken away because God's authority was restored in the earth. But the law was still there because the law is still engraved upon the hearts of the believers, and it was taken into the Holy of Holies. And on the day of Pentecost, the celebration of the giving of the law, God engraved His law on our hearts. On living tables of stone. Amen. It's no longer, "Thus saith the Lord, I'll try my best to get there." It's, "Thus saith the Lord, and I must obey." It's, "Thus saith the Lord, and I must obey." And it came to pass when the priests were come out of the holy place, for all the priests that were present were sanctified. Oh, thank you, Jesus. And they didn't have to wait. They didn't have to wait in line. You know, that's one thing I love about God. He doesn't make you wait in line. I'm not very good at waiting in line. Amen. When I was a child, I never liked to go shopping in Christmas, and I didn't like to go to fairs and livestock shows or circuses because I never was good at waiting in line. I don't like driving in Dallas at 5 o'clock in the afternoon because I don't like waiting in line. Amen. But the day that the Lord sanctified the priest, He sanctified them all. Did you hear me? Nobody's in line in front of you. At the end of the day, all the laborers got paid the same. Glory to God. Yeah, amen. Amen. Also the Levites, which were the singers, all of them of Asaph and Haman and Jeduthun and their sons and their brethren, being arrayed in white linen in fine righteousness, having cymbals and psalteries and harps, stood at the east end of the altar, listening with them 120 priests, sounding with trumpets. Listen. In one place, in one accord, we've got 120 priests.
Hallelujah.
And it came to pass as the trumpeters and the singers were as one and began to make one sound to be heard in praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voices with trumpets and cymbals and instruments and music and praised the Lord, saying, "For He is good and His mercy endureth forever," that suddenly the house was filled up with His glory. Glory to God. Pentecost didn't build the temple. It glorified the temple. Oh, listen to me. You're born of the Spirit the day that you receive Jesus as your Lord and your Master. But it's the glory of God that fills the temple. That's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. When there were 120 in one place in one accord, the house was filled with a cloud, even the house of the Lord. But listen. So that the priest could not stand to minister by reason of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. Hold that. 120 in one place, in one accord, when the glory of God filled the house and they could not stand and they could not speak. Acts chapter 1. And verse 15. And in those days Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and he said the number of the names together were about all 120. Chapter 2, verse 1. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as a rushing mighty wind, and it completely filled all the house where they were seated. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as fire, and set upon each of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. In the book of Chronicles, under the old covenant, the glory of the Lord filled the house when they were all in one accord in one place, and no man could speak and no man could stand. But when the day of Pentecost was fully come, there were 120 in one accord in one place, and the house was filled with the glory of God, and they had to speak and they had to stand. Glory, are you listening? Every time in the book of Acts, whenever it says someone was filled with the Holy Ghost, there was supernatural utterance. They had to speak. They had to give vent to the waters.
The same people were filled several times, but every time that it says they were filled, there was then a supernatural utterance. There was a supernatural prayer or a supernatural prophecy, or they spoke the word with boldness, or they creatively spoke earthquakes into existence. Because the baptism of the Holy Ghost, the filling of the Holy Ghost, is spoken in the mouth of God's temple. Oh, did you hear that? Yeah, but brother, can't I have it and be quiet? Oh, yeah, you can, but you don't want to. Hello. If you be quiet with it, you just want it again next week. But once you open your mouth, you don't quit. Once you open your mouth, you don't quit. Oh, brother, but I'm tarrying. I'm waiting on God. You don't need to tarry. They tarried to Pentecost, but the Holy Ghost has come. You don't have to wait on Him to come. He's already come. I said He's already come. And today, this morning, you can give vent to the rivers, to the rushing waters of the living God. If you've not received the Holy Ghost, this is your day. And if you've not been satisfied with your experience, this is your day. Jesus said, "He that drinks these waters need never thirst again." Glory to God. Let's pray. Brother, would you... Oh, Father, I thank You. I thank You that Jesus paid it all, that Jesus opened up the gates, that Jesus paid it all, that that river might come unto us. Lord Jesus, You said that You must go to the Father, Lord, that the Spirit might be poured out upon us. I thank You that another paraclete, another helper, another comforter is come, oh Lord. I thank You today. I thank You today that the power of God is available. That the wonder-working power of God is available to each and every one of Your children. Oh, Father, that the wonder-working power of God is available. Father, I thank You, Lord, You've not said that we have to receive. You said we shall receive. Oh, Lord, I thank You that it's not something that we have to do, Lord. It's something that You gave us opportunity to do. Lord Jesus, I thank You today for willing hearts and willing minds and willing spirits. Father, for everyone here that's not received the fullness of the Holy Ghost, Lord, today let them be released. Father, I take authority over any traditional spirits. Tongues in the issue here today, it's power. Tongues in the issue here today, it's power. Lord, there may be some here that have received tongues and not received power. There may be some here who've had religious experiences but not received the filling of the Holy Ghost. Lord, there may be some here who've been hanging on for years waiting, but Lord, today they can receive. Lord Jesus, there may be some here that have received but they've not been filled. Lord, today, let there be a fresh dimension of the power of the Holy Ghost in our life. Lord, make us living martyrs for You. Lord, make us living martyrs for You. Lord, make us men who are dead to the flesh but alive unto God. Lord, let the fire and the power of the Holy Ghost come upon us. Lord, You said in Isaiah that this is the refreshing. This is the refreshing. Lord, let that refreshing come forth today. Lord, for those of Your children who have not received, Father, even this day, let Your power come forth, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Everybody just keep your head bowed. Keep your heart focused upon the Lord. Just begin to worship Him. Just begin to worship Him. If you can pray in the Spirit, begin to pray in the Spirit. If you want to worship Him, just begin to worship Him. But let's fix our heart and our attention upon Him. Jesus paid for it. Jesus paid for it. Jesus paid for it. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. If you're here this morning and you've not received the fullness of the baptism of the Holy Ghost, I'm not here to argue about tongues or about gifts, but I want you to know scripturally that every time anybody was filled with the Holy Ghost, there was supernatural utterance. And if you've not had that spoken release of the power of the Holy Ghost in your life, you can have it. You can have it. If you're here this morning and you've not received the fullness of the Holy Ghost, I want you to come up here. You're going to receive today. You're going to receive today, this morning. When we lay our hands upon you, you're going to receive. You're going to speak in tongues as the Spirit gives you utterance. You're going to find a release of power in your life today. Today. If you've not received, you just come up here.
If you have received in the past, but you've not been satisfied, you've not been satisfied. There's been a staleness or a stagnance or maybe not a real freedom and flow in your words. I want you to come up here. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. We praise you, Jesus. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. This is the day. It's the day of God. This is the hour. It's God's hour. It's your hour. If you've not received, come. Come, come and stand, and I want believers. I want people that have the power of the Holy Ghost working in their lives. I want to pray. If the Lord lays one on your heart, I want you to just come and stand behind one of these and pray in the Spirit. Don't lay hands on them yet. Don't counsel them yet. Just stand there and pray in the Spirit. We want you to join with us in prayer. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. This is the day. This is the day. This is today. This is today. We believe, we receive when we pray. This is the day. This is the day. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. Praise you, Jesus. 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 Everyone that has the baptism of the Holy Ghost, everyone that's been released to speak in tongues, lift your hands and begin to speak in tongues. Begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Begin to pray in the Spirit right now. Yes, yes, yes. Begin to worship in the Spirit. Yes, yes. A fresh dimension of power. Even now, a fresh dimension of power. A fresh dimension of power. For your word says, you shall receive power. You shall receive power. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you, Father. The power of God is upon my brother even now. A fresh dimension of power. A fresh release of power. A fresh release of power over confusion, Lord. A fresh release of power over every work that the enemy tries to throw in the way. A fresh release of power in his life. Father, even now, even now, even now, power to be a torch for God. Power to be a torch for God, Father. I thank you, Jesus. My sister, you can't speak in Spanish and English at the same time. You can't speak in two languages at once. Don't speak in English because you can't speak in tongues while you speak in English. All right? It's just, we're all children, amen? And it's broken syllables, and it comes from our innermost being, but from our innermost being, it's got a little flesh to get through. And sometimes it's slow starting, so you let the broken syllables flow. But fix your gaze and your attention upon Him. And whatever you say it in faith, and you say it to the Lord. And if it's broken syllables, let it be broken syllables, because it's going to flow. And it's going to flow today, all right? Amen, everybody. Let's worship. Let's sing in the Spirit. La 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 la
Father, right now in Jesus' name, I release the living waters. Father, I release the flow. Father, let there be liberty right now in Jesus' name. Let there be liberty right now in Jesus' name. All traditions of men are bound. I loose my brother. I loose my brother to enjoy his liberty in the Holy Ghost. I loose my brother to enjoy his liberty in the Holy Ghost. Father, I loose her tongue right now in Jesus' name. I loose her tongue right now in Jesus' name. I loose her tongue, Father. I loose her tongue in Jesus' name. Lord, even as Baal rode that donkey, you loosed his tongue and the donkey spoke. Well, Lord, we're just men. But I loose this one to speak in the heavenly language. I loose her to speak in the heavenly language. I loose her to speak in the heavenly language. Right now, Father, cause the string to be broken. Now, in Jesus' name. That's it, sister. Just speak it. It's stammering lips and broken words. But speak. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you that I belong to you. Lord Jesus, I believe that you're risen and seated on the right hand of God. Jesus, you said, all I have to do is ask and receive. And Lord, I receive the Holy Ghost and the loosing of my language into the heavenly language in Jesus' name. Amen. Now you just lift your hands. You just lift your hands. Brother says in Acts that they spoke as the Spirit gave us. The Lord's not going to take your mouth and make you speak. You'll be speaking. You just speak. It'll be broken syllables. It may be stammering lips. It may be broken syllables, but you go on and speak, and you do it by faith. We receive the Holy Ghost the same as we receive anything else by God. We believe that He promised, and then we receive it. Yeah. You just flow. Glory to God. Yes, amen, brother. You just lift your hands and you begin to enjoy, because we're going to get loose in that today, all right? It's going to be a few syllables at first, but we're going to say a few syllables, because we're speaking to God, not unto men, all right? Let us just lay hands on him and continue to pray with him in the spirit. So, Father, right now is a rushing river, Father. Let that freedom come forth. Let that freedom come forth, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Y'all just keep praying with him. Just keep praying. The more you pray in the Spirit, the freer you get. The more you sing in the Spirit, the freer you get. The more you release that unto God, the freer you get. Amen. You just keep worshiping. Just keep worshiping. Is there anyone here that's not received yet? Well, amen. Sister, we're going to receive now. I want you to raise your hands, and you begin to thank God for doing it. You begin to speak in the language that you have, because when I lay my hands on you, there's going to be a release of power. Amen, Father, right now in Jesus' name. Father, I thank you. I thank you for a release of power, a new dimension of your spirit in our sister's life. I thank you for a release of power in our life. Father, I thank you, Lord, when I lay my hands upon her, Lord, even as the apostles laid hands upon the believers and imparted spiritual gifts. Father, as I lay my hands upon her, Father, I'm going to loose the gifts of the Spirit and the power of God. Father, right now I do it in Jesus' name. Amen, sister, you just continue to speak. You begin to worship the Lord. That river's going to break forth. Right now, you just continue. Just continue to worship Him. Continue to worship Him. Continue to worship Him. Continue to worship Him. The baptism of the Holy Ghost is the door into all of the gifts of the Spirit. It's the door into all of the gifts of the Spirit. If you're here this morning and you want to be loosed in the gifts of the Spirit, we can lay hands on you. We can lay hands on you. And the Lord loose you in interpretation and prophecy and word of knowledge and word of wisdom. Glory to God. All nine gifts of the Spirit. All nine gifts of the... They all came with the same package, the one you just received. They all came in the same package. Glory to God. Amen. Amen. You know what, we aren't going to say that anymore after today. Because this is going to be our point of contact. This is going to be our point of faith. Not pretend, but it's our point of faith. It means today we're going to receive that power. And from day on, we're going to say, I do have that power. And we aren't going to be lying, we're going to be telling the truth. Because God's faithful, and He said if we'd ask. And you and I are agreeing together, all right? You and I are agreeing together for a release of that power. I want you to just raise your hands and you begin to pray in the Spirit. You begin to pray whatever you have, because we're going to lay hands on you and there's going to be a release of that power. That's the evidence to the world. God's going to show it. Amen. Amen. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Jesus, for my sister. Thank you for our love. Thank you for her steadfastness, Lord. Thank you for her desire for more of your power. Her new dimension of the release of your power. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I loose the power of God. I loose the anointing of God. I loose the freedom of God. I loose the mighty rushing wind of God. I loose it in her life. Father, I thank you. I thank you that she's a living torch for you, Lord. I thank you, Lord, that she's a living torch for you. That the glory of God's burning her up for all the world to see, Lord. She's a living torch for you, Father. For from this day, from this day, from this day, from this day. Amen. Amen. You lift your hands and you begin to thank the Lord. Hun, let me tell you something, okay? There's times to bow your heads and pray, and there's time to lift your head and receive. And this is the time to lift our head and receive. Amen. God sanctified us, set us apart, filled us with the Holy Ghost, and He wants us free to flow in His power and His gifts. And we're going to look up to the one we're going to receive from, okay? I want you to look up to Him and begin to thank Him, because today it's done. Because today it's done. Today it's done. Father, right now in Jesus' name, right now in Jesus' name, even as Paul, even as the apostles, Lord, laid hands upon people and loosed them in the gifts of the Spirit, Father, I loose my sister right now and impart unto her the release of the spiritual gifts. Lord, I release the revelation gifts unto her. Father, I loose them unto her. Father, in Jesus' name, 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 in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Brother, you just lift your hands and begin to thank the Lord. Today's the day. We aren't waiting, Lord. We aren't waiting. You've already given it, Lord. Today's our day to receive. Today's Glenn's day to be loosed in all of the movings of the gift. Today's Glenn's day, Lord, to be loosed in the revelation gift. Today's Glenn's day, Lord, to be loosed in the utterance gift. Today is Glenn's day, Lord, to be loosed in the power gift. I loose him, Father, in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. 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 Father, loose my sister right now in a new dimension of your spirit. Loose my sister, Lord, in the movement of the gifts of the Spirit. Father, cause my sister to have liberty. Lord, I bind all fear of me and I bind all fear of rejection. I say you'll not hold her any longer, for she's free right now. From this moment on, she's free, Lord. She's free to flow in the gifts. In Jesus' name. 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 While we're worshiping the Lord, if anyone feels that the Lord's stirring them to bring forth a word or an exhortation or an encouragement, you release that. You release it by faith. You receive those gifts the same way you receive tongues. I love you, my children. Don't you worry about if it's spiritual or who's listening. You creatively loose those gifts in your life. You creatively loose those gifts in your life. While we're praying, if you feel that the Lord's stirring you to move you in the gifts, you release that. You release that. You release that. I was bound by the fear of man. I was real timid. And I had a whole lot of trouble speaking, especially flowing in the gifts, because I'd get to looking at people's faces, and I'd have fear of rejection. I wouldn't do it. And I tell you, everybody and their brother-in-law prayed for me. They laid hands on me and came against fear, and I'd get free, and I'd get it back, and I'd get free, and I'd get it back. And Brother David Alsobrook one time told me to stop counting the cost and just to decide what I was afraid of. And I began to decide that what I was afraid of was rejection by men. And then I decided it didn't matter. And that's the decision we're going to make today. It doesn't matter if you are rejected. It doesn't matter if you do it wrong. It doesn't matter if you make mistakes. It doesn't matter what men think. We aren't going to fear their faces. This is between you and God today. This is between you and God today. And that fear is not going to stand, because the quality decision is minding God's more important. So what if they don't like it? So what? They're just men. They're just men. All right? I want you to raise your hands and get ready to receive. Because today, that fear is broken. The snare is broken. That snare, that noose around your neck is gone. That noose around your neck is gone. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I loose my sister. I break the yoke of the fear of man. And Father, I declare she's loose. And the gifts and the flowing of the Spirit of God. Father, she's free. She's free. She's free. She's free to be a child in you. She's free to be a child in you, Lord. She's free to learn from you. She's free to learn from you. She's free to learn from you, Lord. She's free to learn from you. All fear of man, you're bad. You're not going to hold her anymore. From this day forth, from this day forth, the yoke is broken in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Bold as a lion. Amen. Amen. Brother, that's a word from the Lord. You give it to her. Glory to God. You know, Paul said in Corinthians that you may all prophesy. prophesy one by one, that all may be encouraged and that all may learn. That all may learn what? That all may learn to prophesy. Now you do it. It's God. I don't mean that somebody teaches you how to prophesy, but God's got to teach you how to prophesy, and you've got to learn. And if you start out with, "Oh, my children, I love you," holy, 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 if that's your tongue, you don't worry about that. Your human nature's got to be trained. Your flesh has got to be trained under the hand of God. You just go on and enjoy God. You're a child, and He's not mad. He doesn't care if you do it wrong. Amen? We get so concerned about getting out of order that we're out of order. Yes, it is. Yes, it is. And that's what you have. And 1 John says that it abides. It abides. It doesn't come and go. From this day forth, it increases in power. It increases in power. It increases in power. It increases in power. According to 1 John, the anointing within you abides. The anointing within you abides. The anointing abides. The anointing abides. Everybody say that with me. The anointing abides. It doesn't go away. You don't lose the anointing. We don't. I've heard so many times people say, well, they just grieved the Spirit of God and it closed the meeting down. God isn't that picky. He doesn't get grieved that easy. We get grieved. We get grieved. The anointing abides. The anointing abides. God's promise, He's covenanted to stay with you and to loose you and bring that word for power is a nuclear reactor. It means more all the time. The more you flow in it, the bigger it gets. Amen. Mama, what do you want? Amen. They're going to today. Well, you're going to ask. You're asking today. Today, you think He hears us? Think He's listening? You know He loves you, don't you? He sure wouldn't turn you down for anything you asked that was in the Bible. Would He? I mean, He wants you to have it. He wants you to have all the gifts of the Spirit. That fear's not going to bind you anymore. Amen. You're going to flow in the revelation gifts. You're going to be sitting in your home speaking the secrets of men's hearts to them. God's going to send people to you, and as you begin to counsel, God's going to show you things in the Spirit, and you're going to speak the secret of their heart. And they're going to follow that and say, "God's in you of the truth." That's the purposes of the gifts of the Spirit, and you're going to flow in it. And it's not just going to be flowing in services. You're going to flow over the kitchen table, and you're going to flow on the back porch, and you're going to flow in the grocery store, and you're going to flow when people come to visit, and you're going to flow when you go to visit them. And you won't always end it with a "Thus saith the Lord." You aren't going to have to. You aren't going to have to stand up and go to speaking in tongues. You're just going to speak, and God's going to speak through you, and they're going to know that God sent you to them, and it's going to come today because you asked. All right, and you lift your hands and begin to thank Him, because when I lay my hands on you, you're loosing the gifts of the Spirit. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I loose my sister. Father, I loose her in the revelation gifts, and Father, I say from this day forth, from this day forth, from this day forth, the spirit of revelation shall accompany her. Lord, she'll not go before any foe, Lord, that you've not forewarned her about. She'll not stand before any man, Lord, that you'll not give her knowledge about. She'll not be pressed into any situation, Lord, that you won't give her a word for, Lord Jesus. You are the one. You are. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. The testimony of Jesus is the spirit of prophecy. And Lord, she'll testify. She'll testify of you, Lord. She'll testify of you. And Lord, as she does, that prophetic gift is loosed in her. In Jesus' name. 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 Amen. 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 Sister, it is loose. It is loose. From this day forth, when you sense that stirring in your spirit or you feel like the Lord's giving you a word, don't hold back. You go on and speak it. You'll learn about order. God teaches us about order as we go. And it's been my experience. That people that are timid and slow to move into the gifts are never the ones that get out of order. It's people who have a chip on their shoulder and want to prove something. Those are the only people I've ever experienced getting out of order and breaking up God's services. People who just want God's best for them. He'll teach you about order. And if you do it wrong, God will show you. All of us. Listen to me. If you see someone breaking the spirit, what most Christians do is go home and talk about how bad it was. We don't need to do that. We need to go up and encourage them by faith. We need to go up and encourage them by faith. If you see somebody step out and maybe they even miss God, you feel like. I don't know why God would tell you that they miss God if it was a word that was scriptural. But I mean, even if you feel like that and you know it's somebody young trying to go on in the Lord, don't you talk about them and judge them. You go find them and put your arm around their shoulder and say, praise God, brother, I appreciate you minding God. Amen. You say that by faith, it won't hurt you. And you have no idea what it'll do for them. You got no idea how you can loose people. We have, God has given us death and life in the power of our tongue. And that's not some legalistic covenant. It means God's given His people the ability to speak life in the dead situations. Amen. And when people are experiencing hurt and pain, we can speak healing into them. Amen. The word exhort. All prophecies given for edification, building up, exhortation. I'll hold on to that one in comfort. You know what comfort and edification mean? I want to show you what what exhortation means. Sister, come here. This is a picture of the word exhortation. It means to draw to the side, to put your arm around, to encourage and to show the way. All of you can flow in that. All of you can flow in that. All of us can flow in that. I remember Chuck Flynn talking about, he was at a big conference in the north and he was the prophet. They'd called in to minister and he'd been waiting all afternoon to hear from God on the service and he just couldn't break through. And finally, 10 minutes before the service, he'd been waiting 4 hours seeking God. He saw some man walking around outside the building in the hall where he was praying. And finally, he saw that man come in the door and he came up and said, brother, I think God sent me over here to tell you this. And he told him, and it was some halting little word, and the guy thought he had missed God. And Chuck began to weep. He said, where were you 4 hours ago, brother? I've been waiting all afternoon to hear from God. But see, that brother was too timid, and he thought, who am I to go speak to the prophet? Who am I to go give the word? But we're a body. We're tongue and groove. We're tongue and groove. Did you hear that? We're tongue and groove. We just won't fit. We can't function without one another. And let me tell you something. What's happened this morning isn't over. It's going to direct the flow for the rest of the meeting. And as we worship the Lord, if it gets quiet, don't you get afraid of the quiet. All right? You wait on the Lord. And if the Lord starts stirring and release y'all, y'all just go on and release in the gift. Now, I know that the Word says let it be by two or three. But let's not get legalistic about that, because you never know which two or three had the Word. And sometimes God will use 25 vessels to bring two or three messages. I've been in services where God might even use 50 people to bring two or three messages. But don't y'all be afraid. If God's stirring and moving upon you to give a word and to encourage, then you flow in it. And if it gets out of order, God will correct us. Amen. God will correct us.
I got a different interpretation of that scripture.
Well, good. Let's hear it.
I believe that the Lord means that everybody can speak two or three times, but in order.
I like that better.
For everybody.
I like that better.
And not just two or three in the service, but everybody.
Like that,
if there were enough time for it, that everybody's entitled to two or three prophecies,
like
exhortations,
that.
Or whatever.
I like, amen. I believe.
God, in order, means don't do it all at the same time.
That's right. That's right. I've been in services where the whole service would be built around a moving of the gifts of the Spirit, and there'd be body ministry. And if you stand back and watch the flow, you can see what God's saying. And there's a common thread running through. And if a few people miss it, they know it because it's not in the flow. And it's not discouraging. And nobody's beating them down. And you know, most of our teaching on the gifts, we've taken out of traditional churches from people who don't even have the gifts. You know, we ought to let the Holy Ghost teach us. He's the one who gave. Amen.
I got something to sing. I feel it.
Amen.
On that Chronicles 5 that you wrote,
uh-huh.
That's an end time prophecy.
Amen. I believe it too. The triple fulfillment. There's a triple fulfillment to so many scriptures. There's what's immediate. There's what happens in the spirit, and there's that which happens in the fullness of time, in the end of the ages. Amen. I receive that. I believe we're going to see once again the church put in order and the glory of God restored. I believe that there's going to be another Pentecost. It may not all be the same moment in time for everybody, but I believe there's another Pentecost coming where once again that mighty rushing wind is going to be heard in the temple. Amen. Amen. Yes, right. Amen. Yes, brother. Amen.
Anybody might be restricted with this mind control since
we're talking anymore? Well, I hadn't sensed that in the spirit, have you?
Sometimes some people can't get them loose because there is something.
Yeah.
I just thought maybe you might have
thought. Sometimes, I've a few times I've come against traditional spirits. I guess we're saying the same thing.
Yeah.
I'm talking about teaching that binds people's minds.
Bringing out
Yeah, a lot of people have that. Well, I tell you what then, before, why don't we all join together? The word says where two or more can symposio, that's the word. It's touching anything. It doesn't mean that we're all saying the same word. It means that we're all in harmony. Brother, would you play a C chord on the piano? All right, you hear that? There's three completely different notes and then different octaves, so it makes a total of four. What'd you play, seven, eight notes there? A total of seven or eight different notes, but that's symposio. Now play a C and a B flat, just together. No, just one C and one B flat, just a note. Do you hear that? Do it again loud. That's not symposio. Do you hear the difference? It's a discord. That's discord among the brother. But the Lord says, wherever two or more can a symposio is touching any one thing, it'll be done. Why don't we just all agree together and come against any mind control and any traditions and anything that would bind us from flowing in the Spirit of God? We're the body of Christ. And loose one another, and just loose one another in all the power and all the flow of God. And anybody sitting back there that wants to just come up here with us, we're going to all, this is the way we'll dismiss. We'll all join hands and pray for one another and seal this service. Amen? Amen. Yeah, amen. Amen. I had you on my heart before. I will. Amen. Amen. Just so we're touching someone, we're just being... We don't even have to touch. This is a visual. This is a point of faith, a point of release. This is our tongue and groove, okay? This is what we're doing in the Spirit. We're joining together and we're agreeing together. And I want you to pray for the ones that you're touching, for the ones that you're touching, and we're all praying for everyone. Father, right now in Jesus' name, I lift up my brother and my sister. Father, I take authority over any mind control. I renounce it. I renounce any curse upon them. I curse it. I curse it, Lord, in Jesus' name. Any traditional spirit, any fear of man or fear of rejection. Father, any religious demon that would hinder them and hold them back. Father, I come against it in Jesus' name. I come against it in Jesus' name. I command it to loose them. To loose them. To loose them. You come out of that temple. Come out of that tabernacle. And free them in Jesus' name. 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 Father, for my brother, my sister, I loose a new dimension of the power of God. Father, let the mighty rushing wind of God flow through that tabernacle. Let the mighty rushing wind of God flow through that temple. Lord, let the power of God flow through them and surge through them and bring that release within them, Father. Bring that release within them, Father. Father, I loose my brother. I loose my brother right now, Lord, to flow in the gifts of the Spirit, the revelation gift. Father, I thank you, Lord. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Jesus. Father, loose my sister right now in a new dimension of your Spirit. Loose my sister, Lord, in the movement of the gifts of the Spirit. Father, cause my sister to have liberty. Lord, I bind all fear in me and I bind all fear of rejection. I say you'll not hold her any longer, for she's free right now. From this moment on, she's free, Lord. She's free to flow in the gifts. In Jesus' name. 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 While we're worshiping the Lord, if anyone feels that the Lord's stirring them to bring forth a word or an exhortation or an encouragement, you release that. You release it by faith. You receive those gifts the same way you receive tongues. I love you, my children. Don't you worry about if it's spiritual or who's listening. If you creatively loose those gifts in your life, you creatively loose those gifts in your life. While we're praying, if you feel that the Lord's stirring you to move you in the gifts, you release that. Bold as a lion. Amen. Amen. Brother, that's a word from the Lord. You give it to him. Glory to God. You know, Paul said in Corinthians that you may all prophesy one by one, that all may be encouraged and that all may learn. That all may learn what? That all may learn to prophesy.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are many free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.